Welcome to the worst nightmare of all. Reality.
Explore the lesser-known stories of our unknown world. Join the pursuit of the paranormal with Ash and Greg.
Welcome to this week's episode where we're going to be talking all things paranormal. So how are you doing, Ash?
I'm doing good. So getting over my chihuahua incident from last week.
Yes.
still thinking about it.
I'm still thinking about it as well.
Questioning whether I actually saw it or not.
Well, something happened for definite because we all heard that video clip where it says you're talking about a wild chihuahua of all animals, and it is something I've been discussing with my wife as well. I'm saying, out of all the dogs or all the animals that you could see in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night, a chihuahua would not have been up on the list. It probably would have been right near the bottom, along with like fish and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's bonkers. It's absolutely bonkers.
And I know we talked about it and said you could understand it if it's like a gun dog or a working dog, something like that, or something that's probably quite wild, but chihuahua. Although they're probably quite vicious little things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man syndrome.
Yeah, I got a pug, and that's got little dog syndrome completely, and it's just savage little thing. But yeah, no. So what have you been up to since your events at Rendlesham? Anything exciting?
No, just planning for the UFO conference we've got in October.
Yeah,
it's taken up all the time. There's a lot, so much goes into it that I just didn't realise.
What date is that again? Remind me.
The Saturday, the 9th of October. There's only limited tickets left. So if anyone does want to come, get tickets at www.ufoidentified.co.uk/minicon.
Cool, cool. That was a nice little plug you worked in there.
That wasn't even planned.
It wasn't. Cool. So you've settled back. And have you reviewed all the footage and stuff?
No, I still got when we did the final night before all that. I mean, I should really, in case we hear anything on that, but I've not reviewed the audio recordings. I've not reviewed the two camera recordings off the night we were in Rendlesham Forest, the last night. Yeah. So that's on still on the to-do list, which might be the time and actually find something, considering what happened afterwards. But
yeah, definitely.
We'll see.
Cool, cool. So... my last week, apart from a few vehicle related issues that I've had in last week, last weekend, as people might know, I'm also part of a paranormal group, and we had the privilege of speaking to a family. I'll keep the details vague at this point, but they have something happening in their house. Right. And the reason why this is this prevalent or relevant this week is because we're going to talk about a slightly unknown poltergeist case, and this actually is a similar type thing. So the people that I spoke to, they're a couple in a previous house. The female, who's also a mum, she experienced things weird happening in a previous house. She found out later on that in the loft of the house, or in the attic, that the previous owner had actually committed suicide.
Oh,
which
wow.
She didn't know till after she moved out of the house. She was going up into the attic. A light bulb was like increasing and just blew all the time. Just a few weird things happening. So she moved in with her now husband, and it appears this thing has followed her, this potentially a man has followed her, spirit man, because we were asked to come and speak to the husband because they thought that the husband had something attached to him, because every time he was in the house, weird things were happening, and when he was out of the house, things weren't happening. But through talking to the couple. The lady explained about this previous house, and the fact that it only happens when she's on her own in the house, nothing happens. When he's on his own in the house, nothing happens. When they're both in the house, weird stuff happens. And when they're out of the house, weird stuff happens. So,
okay, what weird stuff happens?
So, an example of when they're both out of the house. So they're out of the house. They've had a few weird things happen. So I'll rewind a little bit. So the house is a new build house, 3-story. Generally, the new builds are quite warm houses. Like, I've got a new build myself, and the insulation's pretty good in them. So they tend to be a bit warmer.
Yeah.
I notice it's a bit warmer than our previous house. And but the top floor is... there's a bathroom and whatnot. It's used as the youngest daughter's bedroom initially. Very cold at the top. Usually the top of the house is quite warm because heat rises.
Yeah, I used to have a top floor apartment. It's never had the heating on because
definitely.
It comes up, the heat comes
Everybody
up.
Is helping you out from below. Yeah. So always cold. And then the daughter's bedroom, it was sort of normal temperature. And then about the last 6 months, started being cold all the time. Heating on, cold. And we've had quite a warm year this year. It's been fairly mild. We've had some hot spells, but generally it's not been that cold sort of the last 6 months. It's been right. So the daughter has taken photographs in a, like selfies and whatnot. The daughter, just for context, is a 15-year-old. 16-year-old now, taking photos, selfies in a bedroom, and in the background, and I saw these photos, are what appears to be a person, like a shadow of a person. And so we haven't received those photos officially or at all through the group just yet. But if we do and when I can share them, I'll send them over and I'll put them on the page. But at the moment, it's early days because they just want to find out what's happening.
Yeah.
So other things that are happening in the house, vases smashing, doors opening and closing. So new builds, when they got new carpets in and whatnot, the doors are quite tough to open and close sometimes when you get a new carpet in the house.
Yeah.
So these doors are quite stiff. The doors are just closing and opening. They hear doors slamming. Typical sort of haunting stuff. And it was through talking to the couple that we found out about the previous house, but also the fact that the daughter's experiencing stuff. And the elder daughter who's moved out, she's in her 20s. When she was 16, she started seeing stuff. And she's experiencing stuff in her house now as well. So a lot of weird stuff happening, seeing this image in the photographs, cold spots in the house, cold room. So the dad, everybody's out. He's got like Ring cameras, those kind of internet cameras, security cameras, puts one in one corner of the room on like a chest of drawers, looking at the whole of the bedroom, daughter's bedroom. Is it work? Because his thoughts were, I'm going to check to see if they've got cats. So I wanted to check to see if it was a cat causing some of this stuff, because they knock things over, little shits cats can be. So he puts the camera up, goes to work, everybody's out. He gets an alert on his phone to say that there's movement detected in the bedroom. So he logs on and it records like 5-10 seconds worth of footage so you can see what's going on. Can't see anything in there. So thought maybe it's a cat. Could be a cat just sort of jumped up somewhere. So goes back to work. A few seconds later, gets the alert again to say there's movement. He goes on to like the camera app, and the camera itself is facing the wall, and when he gets home, the camera's actually fallen over. So it's done a full 180, so it's pointing into the corner of the room, And then when he comes home, it's knocked over. Obviously, as I spoke to him and said, can't rule out a cat doing that, potentially, because cats play around with stuff. So I've suggested to him to make sure that if he does it again, that the doors are closed, everything like that, so it's as sterile of an environment as it can be. So that's been happening. As I say, they've got cold spots in the house. The daughter doesn't want to sleep in the bedroom. Understandable. I don't think I would.
Especially like you've just seen someone in a picture.
Yeah, like that would freak the fuck out, definitely. And when you see the photograph, it's clear as day that it's somebody there.
Wow.
Although it's fuzzy because it's slightly out of focus, it's definitely not the girl that's taking the photo. You can see it. It's clear it's somebody either sat on a bed or sort of. It's a weird photo. And just to put this in context, we actually met in public, in a public place. So we didn't go to the house, haven't seen any of this live yet. So the other issues that are happening, like I say, when the husband's at work and the wife's on her own, nothing happens. Likewise, when she's out and he's in the house on his own, nothing happens. When they're both together, the mood sours, they start arguing. He said he can ring her on the way home from work and say, I'm coming home, I'll be home shortly. And he's got a job that requires him to take notice of things, like a protection type role.
Right.
So he's a big chap as well, like solid guy, really nice guy. But so he'll phone his wife, say, I'm on my way home, I'll see you in a bit. Everything's fine. He said as soon as he walks over the threshold of the door, the mood darkens, and whilst there's nothing specific, they start sort of bickering, start rowing, and there's an atmosphere between the couple all the time until one of them goes out of the house or they both go out. So they said there'd be like just little things. They said like something would annoy him slightly more than normal, and then they would start arguing about stuff, and obviously that causes a bit of tension. So then they'll go out as a family, and as soon as they walk and get in the car, everything's back to normal. It's like no atmosphere. But as soon as they walk through the door, the atmosphere's there again. So I was trying to explain, as were the group I was with, that could find that if it's a male spirit, or the male that hung himself in the previous house has followed her, he might be jealous.
Yeah.
Might not want a man or male figure, father figure in the house. Because the mum said, what happens if we split up and I got somebody new? I said, you'll probably find the same thing would happen again. It's not your husband, it's the fact that it's a man.
Yeah.
So that was food for thought for them. But yeah, very concerned couple. Daughter, young daughter as well. I think she's 7, so they've got three kids. And the young daughter also whispered something while we were there, and the dad was like, I forgot all about this. That the youngest daughter woke up one day and she had scratches all over her back. She sleeps on her own in the bedroom. I mean, that could be anything. And she was 7, and she was saying, I can sometimes feel like something's either stroking my hair or pulling my hair. And she had like long shoulder length hair. So we've started a bit of a journey with them that they want to try and understand what it is, what's causing it. So as part of our investigations and sort of to let you know what we do, so we're going to get them to start a diary of events. So if you hear knocking on the wall, what time was it, what date was it, what day of the week was it? And also a comment will be, I've asked them to keep a record of what the atmosphere in the house was like just beforehand, or around the time this happening. Were you having an argument? Did it proceed to cause an argument? Or did it, what happened mood-wise in the house? Because they were saying that, like I mentioned, that they, it creates an atmosphere of tension between the two of them, the two adults in the house. So we said, look, once we can start establishing if there's a pattern, who's in the house, that kind of stuff, we can start to work on why potentially there's something taking place. So yeah, that was a bit of a strange thing, and I recorded the whole conversation. So once I can get permission to use that, maybe we'll be able to put that up as an extended episode at some point. A raw, unedited interview with a couple going through quite a weird experience.
Definitely. You said that the oldest daughter had stuff happened, and she lives somewhere else. What stuff's happening with her?
Same sort of things. Hearing things, like a presence. There's strange like things happening in her house, like smashed things, that kind of normal kind of haunting sort of behaviour.
Does she have like a partner or someone that's...
Didn't ask that question, actually. That's something I'll need to go back and revisit. However, and you'll find this one quite interesting, that she regularly goes on ghost hunts. The family do anyway. They go on organized events, and the elder daughter was concerned that she might have brought something back with her from an investigation, whether or not that has happened. But they all do go on ghost hunts and have been on ghost hunts. So they didn't come across as scared, but they were definitely concerned as to trying to find out what's causing these issues. And we said, we just need to record a lot of stuff to begin with so we can just try and figure out what leads up to these things happening.
Yeah.
But definitely the figure in the photograph, we all as a group saw that photograph, and we were shown it was on a mobile. Definitely a strange picture. So as soon as I can get a copy of the photo, I'll send it over to you, Ash, and see what you think, because I know we like to look at some of those sorts of photos. But yeah, so that was a very very strange but interesting sort of case that I'm involved or getting involved with as part of the panel.
Something to sort of look forward to. Look forward to. And
So I'll update as and when we get more information. But we will start to sort of build a picture of things and then visit the couple's house, just so if we can sense anything in the team there. A couple of
how did they sort of get in touch with you guys?
So we've got our Facebook page, Windrush Valley Paranormal, and like we do with the podcast, we get people contacting us and saying, we've got this happening, what is it, or can you come and take a look at these weird things happening in our house. It tends to be with the paranormal stuff a bit more direct rather than absolute nut jobs that we get on the podcast one. Some of them are. We do get some interesting contacts, obviously, on the podcast, but we do get a lot of people that it's just completely out there. But with the paranormal stuff, they tend to be people that have got a genuine concern. They want to find out what's happening. So that's how they contact us. So we've been in contact with them as a group over the last few weeks and said, look, let's meet up. We had some decent weather recently. We're able and fortunate enough that we all met up at the same time. So hopefully we're going to be able to help the family and even just to try and find some kind of answers. I think that's what they're after, is to what it is, what's causing it. Before anything gets too out of hand. I don't know if things are starting to escalate, but things have definitely gone from sort of cold spots in the house to smashed vases and whatnot, and then up to this picture being taken, which obviously would freak anybody out.
Yeah.
15-16-year-old girl who's just taking social media selfies. So yeah, tough times. And as I say, because it's affecting the children a bit more than the adults, it's definitely something that we're going to try and help them with. So I'll update as and when we get some more info on that. So that was part of what I've been doing, and also looking into, following on nicely to this poltergeist stuff that we've been, so poltergeist I find fascinating, the Enfield, yeah, Enfield haunting, and the poltergeist from the Enfield case is a particular favourite of mine, and I know we've covered that off recently.
That was a really popular episode as well.
Yeah, it was. It's just such a good, I say story, it's a good account of an experience that took place in a normal house. And I think that's the scary bit out of all of this, is it's a normal house. It's not some mansion that's half crumbling at the bottom of the street that nobody goes, like on It, if you've seen the new version of It. Where they walk to this house and it's just like this house, and you look at it, you go, fucked if I'm going in there, because that looks haunted.
Yeah, the cabin in the woods.
Yeah, exactly. Why would you even go there? And like, there's the film The Strangers, where they've gone into this cabin in the woods and they get a knock on the door and somebody with like this mask on. It's like, what were you going to expect in the middle of nowhere?
A chihuahua.
A chihuahua. Although, if it's going to be out there on its own in the middle of the night, it's probably quite a good thing to have on a lead with you, because it probably defend itself if it was there, Ash.
Yeah, if it was, existed.
Oh, man.
That might be a good idea for a film, Chihuahua in the Woods.
Imagine if it didn't exist and it was just in your head. Is that
both of our heads, though?
Yeah, both of your heads.
It was planted in both of us. I don't know.
That'd be even weirder, wouldn't it?
It would be. Would they definitely be controlling it if that would happen.
Yeah,
if that's definitely what's happened.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's thoughts for you heard that here first. So, if anybody comes out with that as a film idea, we got to try and claim that.
Yeah, I'll be suing.
So, the Enfield poltergeist. It's a typical house in a typical street, a typical city, London. And then you've got like 30... And
just to point on that is when you say London, I think obviously a lot of our listeners are American and international. Yeah. And probably when I think of London, I think all the city centre, the big skyscrapers. Yeah. But the London in this is a sort of Greater London council estate.
Yeah.
Where it's like, there's lots of houses tightly built together. Mm-hmm. So you got a big population all like in one area rather than people imagine London, I imagine City of London rather than
these neighborhoods. Thing.
Yeah. Rather than like upstate, more like down, like I don't know, downtown New York, or like more like Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Sort of rather than
Manhattan. Upstate New York. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we have terraced houses, and the Enfield ones are like an end terrace house on a typical street. 30 East Drive is another one that people go to as part of it's a very famous place in Pontefract. That's like a semi-detached house on a housing development built sometime post-war. So a lot of these hauntings take place in houses that people live in rather than sort of mansions or old properties. They're like normal houses, and that's the scary bit, is it, you could look out of your house, out of your window, and see another house on your street, and it could have weird shit happening in it. So poltergeist and that is something that fascinates me. It always has. It freaked me out as a child. And I've said before, the Enfield one is the one that captured my imagination for this sort of thing. So I listen to all sorts of podcasts about paranormal and Ouija boards and all that kind of stuff. And I'm Googling poltergeist and ghost cases and all that jazz all the time, just to try and find one I haven't heard of before, because it's typically Enfield, 30 East Drive. You get the odd one like the Sally House in America, which we'll have to talk about on another episode. So another highly haunted place. But then I came across this one called the Battersea Poltergeist. So Battersea, for people who don't know, is in London, or on the outskirts of London. There's a very famous power station, or disused power station now, Battersea Power Station. I think it's probably flats and housing estate now. They've also got a very famous dogs home and pets home, Battersea Dogs Home, for rescue animals. So it's quite a main part of London. Battersea's a quite a well-known part of London as well. And this takes place back before the Enfield poltergeist,
right,
quite a lot before. And this one is in 1956, so it's quite a way back. And one of the good parts of this is, but even though it's so old, the main person in it, she's actually still alive. And she's been able to tell her story. She's 80 now, a lady called Shirley. And at the time, she was 15. So
that common theme,
mm-hmm,
of pubescent, yeah, girls.
Yeah, yeah. And as I say, the couple we spoke to, they've got a 15, 16-year-old daughter. Enfield haunting. Janet was around 13, 15 by the time it was sort of all fizzled out. And it does tend to base itself, or this activity tends to lend itself to houses where there is a daughter, a girl of the household that's around 13, early teens to mid-teens, and it all seems to centre around them. So this Battersea case, the strange one about this is normally they last for about 18 months, 2 years, and they sort of fizzle out, which I think, yeah, I mentioned in the Enfield haunting. This one lasted for 12 years.
Jeez.
So it affected the house and the family to such an extent that it lasted for so long. And so basically what happened was that the girl, Shirley, she... teenager, typical sort of teenager, family. So there's an older brother, they've got the mum, the dad, dad's working class. So nothing out of the ordinary, typical house, very much like Enfield. So she comes home one day, Shirley, the daughter, and she finds a silver key on her pillow. No reason for it to be there.
Right.
Can't figure out what it's from. Doesn't seem to be for any part of the house. And they've obviously lived there for a little while. Just appears out of nowhere. No idea where it's come from there. And that is the beginning of 12 years worth of weird stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so this case as well is one, you can Google it, and you will struggle to find much more on it. I've looked into it, and I can give you some brief timeline of events, but not into the kind of detail like the Enfield one was, purely for the fact that it happened beforehand. There wasn't the big media interest to begin with around, yeah, the event, and it isn't that well known. So the family, none of the family can recognise this key. Then all of a sudden, over the preceding sort of weeks, they start being woken up by loud banging, which is typically how a lot of these start. Enfield poltergeist, they started hearing banging all over the house. And it tends to be a way that it all seems to start. It's centred around the girl of the family, then the banging noises started. So it gets so bad that the neighbors are outside saying, "What the hell is going on in your house to cause all of this?" And there's people next door and the door down. Cannot. Jesus. Yeah. So it's super weird, super loud, but the family don't realize it's quite as loud as it is until the neighbors start saying, "Look, we can hear it. What the hell is going on?" And it sounds like it's coming from all over. They can't seem to pinpoint where it's all happening. It could be ceiling, could be walls the next second. Again, very similar to like the Enfield poltergeist. They can't pinpoint it. It seems to come from everywhere and nowhere. Then it all starts to focus on Shirley herself. Things start moving. Clocks fall off shelves. A chair actually flew through the air. That's easy for you to say. But one of the weirdest things that happens is that on the bed, all of a sudden, a pile of tea towels catch fire on Shirley's bed.
Mm.
Almost burn the house down. Shirley gets pulled from the bed itself. Covers get ripped off. They basically said they could hear scratches coming from like underneath the bed, on the headboard, that kind of thing. And the dad, obviously not sure what's going on, basically says, "Is it you doing it, Shirley?" And she's like, "No, it's not me." And he's like, "Right, that's good enough for me. I believe you." But everybody's pointing the finger at her, saying, you're doing all this weird stuff.
Yeah.
It all seems to center around you. That kind of thing. The weird stuff that starts to happen from there is this guy comes down, a guy called Harry Hank. He's a medium, and this is back in the time when spirituality was quite popular. It wasn't necessarily seen as weird to be contacting the dead, all that kind of thing. So they start to hold a seance in the living room with Shirley, a load of people. And they get a knock on the door, and it's the police. The police turn up to basically say, "We understand you're trying to summon the devil." And somebody's grassed them up. And they don't know who this is, but somebody's grassed them up for holding a seance because of all these things that are happening to her. So anyway, they try and tell the police what's going on, and they're not trying to summon the devil. All this kind of stuff. And it's a spiritual thing, and part of spiritualism.
So a lot less crime to worry about back then or something.
Yeah, so. I think so.
Go
I think
out. So. Can't yeah. get out for anything nowadays.
I know. it is rather strange. So basically, they sort of kind of put up with it. There's a lot of finger pointing. Shirley gets bullied at school. They're basically saying that you're doing it all yourself and whatnot. Dad's having none of it, but obviously they don't really know what's causing it. Then things take a slight different twist. The local press and the national press get involved, and this is a time when there's the Enfield, there's no internet, there's no reason for Shirley to have known previous reports of stuff going on in other houses. So it's one of those things that you don't,
yeah,
you could search the internet now for hauntings and you can find loads of history on everything, but back then there was no way you could. The strange thing happens, they get the press involved and it's almost dismissed. They're saying stuff's happening while you're sort of do it, everything centers around you must be doing it. At one point they get Shirley to, she gets picked up by this car and it's one of this press guy, he takes her off and they get to the newspaper offices in London and she's like, "Why am I here? What are you doing?" They say, "Oh, I just want to talk to you." And they try and get her to commit to the fact that it was her doing it all along. There is a particular like a bone cracking type sound that some people can make with their toes, and that's quite loud, and they seem to think that that is the diagnosis, is that she's making these noises by cracking her toes to right. make tapping sounds. And they're like, that's ridiculous, that's ridiculous. So this news reporter comes and spends the night with Shirley. This woman, she brings her husband, who's I think he's military, it might be police, but so he stands guard outside the bedroom. They go into the bedroom, nothing seems to be happening. The reporter says, I want to believe you, but I can't. And she says, right, we're in bed together. So it's a female and the daughter. And she says, I want you to put your hands in front of you, and I want you to put your legs in between my legs, so she can't do anything, basically. And she says that to go, and it's just to make sure that you're not doing anything. Then they start hearing sounds underneath the bed, scratching sounds, and Shirley says to the reporter, he's here. Covers get pulled off. The daughter gets dragged off the bed while the reporter is in bed with her. So she's like, look, I know you're telling the truth. And if that wasn't weird enough, letters start arriving, written by this spirit itself, who they've named Donald. So Donald is the name of the poltergeist, starts writing letters to the house, and one of them, it says, Shirley, I come. That was apparently the first one. It was written on the 22nd of March, and it's signed by Donald himself. Very strange. I've got some photos, I can put those up. The grandmother, who lived with them as well, was convinced that this Donald, call him Donald from now on, was an evil spirit and threw holy water over Shirley, trying to cleanse her, as you would probably do. It didn't work. But apparently at that point, Donald went berserk. Crucifix that she was holding went flying across the room. Curtains were left in shreds, as if somebody had got a knife to them. So it's just riled up this spirit even more. So Shirley's growing up at this point. She was unable to get a job. She obviously finished school at this point. She lost all her friends. And she managed to get a job through a friend at Selfridges in London. Big department store. Yeah. But she was working in the tailoring section of the suit section, and she was responsible for helping to tailor garments. So if people come in and said, I want my trousers taken up or taken in or let out, she would be part of the team that would do the alterations to people's clothing. Donald followed her to work. There are reports of objects just floating across the room, scissors being stolen, and just disappearing. It got so bad that she was actually fired from her job because of the amount of stolen scissors that were taking place.
Did other people, like colleagues, see?
Yes.
This is happening.
Yes. So there is a witness that's gone on record recently that says, I remember everything happening that Shirley said at the time. Things were flying around the room in Selfridges, so people knew it was happening. And obviously it's quite dangerous to have scissors flying around everywhere. But there was definitely things happening at work and not just in the house, so it was following Shirley around. And there was hundreds upon hundreds of letters being sent. I think in one day there were 60 letters that were sent by Donald to the house. And it's like,
they just through appeared. The mail service.
No, they just appeared in the house.
Right.
And it couldn't have been Shirley because she at that point was still employed at Selfridges. So these letters were just appearing. There was a door in the house, a room, and they locked the door with a one. It had one key. They locked the door so nobody could go in there. They'd unlock it, go in there later, and there'd be a letter or weird things have happened in the room. And there was no way anybody could have got in there without access to this key. So, super weird. She would get boyfriends and they wouldn't last that long because obviously Donald would have his say. But this lasted on and off after that. It was intense for about 2 years. And then as she got a bit older, out of adolescence and moving on towards 17, 18, she started moving out and things sort of fizzled out. The family in 1965, so this was about 8 years after it all first started, 9 years. She moved out to Bognor Regis from London with her now husband, but Donald followed them. He'd leave messages telling her what her parents were doing. So basically he would snitch and send these letters to, or make these letters appear to Shirley in Bognor Regis about what her husband and her parents were doing. It's basically right. A grass. So he was like trying to either protect her or intimidate or latched onto her. Because one thing I was thinking about earlier was all these poltergeists seem to be male figures attracted to prepubescent and pubescent girls, young women. And I don't know if that's a bit weird. It is a bit weird. It is weird anyway, but it seems to be either like a protecting role and they don't want any other man to have them. They want to be the person to look after them as such. But it backfires because they intimidate them and scare them. And
because this one sounds like quite stalkerish compared yes, to
very stalkery.
The other ones. That's like sort of overriding thing that I sort of get from.
Yeah, I think if it was now and it was a real person, they'd have restraining orders out.
Yeah.
It's that kind of weird. Then after a couple of years, Donald fell silent. He left a final message with the parents, bearing in mind this is in London and she's in Bognor. And for people outside the UK, Bognor, Regis to London's, what, 2 or 3 hours, I would say, probably. Maybe to the centre of London, might be slightly more. Don't really. It's Bognor Regis on the south coast, and you've got the southeast is where London is. And Bats is quite central London, or just outside central London. But he did leave a final message with the parents, saying that he would leave the family in peace and just said goodbye. And that was it. The key was never found again.
They never found what it was for.
No, never found what it was for. It sort of went missing along the years and they never found it. Never found what it was for. Never found out why Donald was there. And as I say, in most cases, it lasted a couple of years anyway, but this was 12 years before he went silent. It's very strange, very strange. And as I say, about 300 metres away, down another road a few years before, was another poltergeist. And they don't know if that was called Donald. But one of the previous people that died in those houses was called Donald. Weird. Yeah. These stories are very strange.
That's pretty weird.
I think the weird bit is where, well, apart from the fact you've got a poltergeist in your house, is these letters appearing out of nowhere.
Well, see, like, did they keep the letters? They've been.
Yeah, there's a few examples of them. I think there were so many of them that they didn't keep them all, but I do have a photograph. So this is a photo or an image of the first letter that was written by Donald. It's very shaky writing. It says, "Surely I come."
Right. Because I think that obviously the lighter side of it makes it more human than other stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you sort of think like, is it somebody somehow messing with her? Or, like, I can see why they put the blame on to Shirley.
Yeah. They also tried to blame the brother as well. But she was like, for part of it, he was actually abroad while some of this was happening, so it couldn't have been him. But there are, I think when it gets so weird that people tend to say, there has to be a rational explanation to this, and it has to be you, unfortunately. Like with the Enfield, girls on the Enfield case, they actually admitted to doing some of it. But Shirley has always maintained that she had no part in this whatsoever. And third-party people witnessed it in Selfridges where she was working. So...
yeah, that adds a lot of...
it does. The problem is, and psychologists and that will tell you, that eyewitness accounts are probably some of the most unreliable accounts of what's happened. Yeah. Because you remember in the last time you remembered it. So a lot of the time you're not actually remembering the event itself. So, yeah, super weird. But very interesting case nonetheless.
I see, like I said, it's gone for so long, it's a long time to sort of keep.
Mm-hmm. In and out of the house.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing as well. It did get press attention, not quite to the level of the Enfield one, but this was some time before. So that was 77, the Enfield. This was 56, so it's nearly 20 years beforehand. Just past, well, like 10 years after, 11 years after the end of the Second World War. So still quite old. And the spiritualism was quite a big thing back there, so... it wasn't so much of a weird thing that people doing seances and stuff like that in houses, because that was a way of entertaining. There was many people that were spiritualist mediums.
Yeah.
It's very strange. And I know there's been work done to find out if there was a tube station underneath the house or a tube line gone underneath the house that could have caused some of the initial bangings. There wasn't. There was some deep holes there that were, there was some works previously done there. So it's possible that it could be having a more natural occurrence, the banging. But the report was the banging was so loud that the next door neighbours were hearing it, and the next door to them. So interestingly, the house doesn't exist anymore.
I was going to ask, that was my question. Is it still there?
No, it's not. But the road is, but the house isn't. Itself, like we're 70 years down the line now.
Yeah.
It's regentrification and all that kind of stuff that they do in developments and old houses now to bring them back up to date and whatnot. It's a strange case. It's a little known one, but if you Google it, Batsy Poltergeist, there is typically one source of information for this, and it's through the BBC, and they've done extensive research into it, and there's quite a lot of information if you're willing to put in the time to look at that and listen to the stuff they talk about. But an interesting case, and it's slightly different to the Enfield one. Which was like massively recorded. There was lots of people involved with that, lots of credible people. Whereas this is slightly before all of that.
Yeah.
But centres around a girl of the family. It seems to be a male poltergeist or male spirit that's either protecting or stalking or thinking they're taking care of or looking out for these girls, when in actual fact having quite the opposite effect. And I think it did affect Shirley, badly as it did with the girls on the Enfield case. Janet was traumatized by that for a while. So yeah, interesting case.
Yeah, cool.
So yeah, that's all I've got in terms of Poltergeist this week. So we got the two interesting ones, and I will go back to and update everybody on the local one that I'm looking into.
Yeah, look
as
to
and
that.
When I can get some more details to share, then I'll make anything I can get public, especially the photographs. The photographs, I think, are an absolute key piece of this. And if I can get that picture, even if I can just get to show you, Ash, for the time being, I'll try and get a copy of the photo. Yeah, it was literally handed round on a mobile phone, so we couldn't even take a photo or whatnot. So, but as I say, I've got the whole recording of the interview for that, and it's definitely an eye opener as to what's been happening. Very strange, but a normal family living in a normal house on a new estate. So, but as we talked to them, we also said that it doesn't matter what the house is, it's what was on the land before that. And where we are, in our area, Oxfordshire itself is quite a haunted county. There's a lot of old buildings, so Oxford Castle and Oxford University. There's been an Oxford University site there in the centre of Oxford for over 1,000 years. Oxford Castle itself has got history dating back 1,000 years, so it's steeped in history in this area. There was lots of battles back to William the Conqueror and those kind of ages, so like nearly 1,000 years back. There's battles raged on the local area where I live as well. There's plague victims in the local school, and the local school's like 400 years old. They kept plague victims there, so there's all manner of weird stuff that happens around the area where I am. So yeah, it can happen in normal houses. That's the scary thing. So it is like you see in the horror films.
Yeah.
And a lot of these stories, if they were a script, they would be a horror film. I watched the Enfield Haunting on Sky One, which is a 3-parter with Timothy Spall. And it's super weird, especially when you know the story is super weird. And to know that it's all fact, whether it's true, it's another matter, but it's definitely facts about what's happening to people. Yeah, their experience here, and like we've mentioned before, one person's experience doesn't necessarily mean it's the same as somebody else's, and every experience is personal to the person it's affecting. So who's to say these things aren't happening?
Yeah, that's it.
So yeah, that's me for this week. Sorry, I've been talking for
that's fascinating
for some time, and it'd be interesting
really
to hear. And it's strange that the more you look into it, the more you see the common things happening in each one, and they're not, these people aren't linked to each other. They're separate events happening sometimes. So this recent one is now, the Enfield one was 40 years ago. The one before that was 20 years ago for this particular one, the Battersea one. And they've all got similar themes in them, and they're completely unrelated. The Enfield one, they very unlikely would have known about the Battersea one. It might have been in the press, and only the mum would have known about it, I'd have thought. And she'd have probably been fairly young at the time.
Like say 20 years.
Yeah. And Janet, who was in the Enfield one, she was like 13 at the time, so there's no way, she wasn't even alive in 1956. So she couldn't have even known. There was no crossover. So who knows? Who knows?
Fascinating.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it from me. I don't know what it, I don't know. I'll cut that bit out. That takes us about an hour.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is about 10 to when we started recording.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a fascinating one. Do we want to just do a last little bit about what's coming up? So we've got that interview tomorrow. Don't know if we can talk about that. I suppose we can.
Yeah, because you could drop in about voting as well.
Yeah.
We're interviewed by Paranormal Magazine, who are running the podcast awards.
Yes.
Vote for us. You got a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've even got my mum voting now. She's actually messaged us. I can't send it. It's not submitting. I'll try again tomorrow. It won't even go on my iPad. What's doing?
He doesn't know it's something so simple.
You press a button, you press submit, and that's it, mum. You don't need to do any more now.
It's like my mom, like I was like, exactly, like it's just there. Like, what do you mean? It's easier to do it than not do it.
A small
I don't even
child.
know how, I don't even know how you're getting these pages. Like,
That's the worst of it. It's like, what, how are you even getting to that? Cool. Right. So, okay. So we just finished that bit. Cool. So we've got following on from all of that. So stuff that we got coming up soon then, Ash. We've got tomorrow, so Wednesday, which will be the podcast is releasing today. So we're recording it on the day of release, which is cool, which means that anything we talk about is actually happening in real time. So tomorrow evening, we are fortunate enough to have been invited for an interview with Paranormality magazine. And people may know and have heard of that because
They're the ones doing the podcast awards that we are
they are
nominated
doing.
for
Are we?
best alien UFO podcast.
Yeah. So, and considering we talk a lot about paranormal, like ghosts as well, and UFOs, and we're up against some dedicated UFO ones, I think that's really cool. That's really
Yeah,
cool.
yeah. Like I say, the ones we're up against are like UFO specific, as we're like broad. Obviously, do feature heavily UFOs, so
Yeah, absolutely.
it's
Absolutely.
good to see us alongside those names. Really, that's
Yeah, definitely. So, if anybody,
2 weeks left.
2 weeks left, yeah, to drop us a quick vote if you haven't already. And if you do and have, thank you very much. If you can, thank you very much in advance.
And share it as well. That's
Yeah, share
You
it.
never know. You never know.
No, absolutely. I've even got my mum to vote for it this evening as we've been recording this episode. And she has just come back to me and said she's unable to do it, not even been able to do it on her iPad. She is 70 something and she isn't great with technology. But when you go onto the link, which is on our show notes, it's literally one box and press submit. And how she's managing to fuck it up, I do not know. But that's my mum all over. So, yeah. So, everybody get sharing. Would be massively appreciated. Just to be nominated was cool. We don't even know how that happened. We might find out tomorrow. And then if we can share that interview, we'll also pop that out as a bonus episode maybe, if we can. And then we've got Ash's event coming up with UFO Identified, where you can still get tickets to the conference at www.ufoidentified.co.uk.
That's
Thank you
right.
very much. I've got that right. You can also head over to the Facebook page as well, to keep up to date with who's on there, who's speaking. Got some great people there, people that have been on the podcast previously. So yeah, crack on and get yourselves involved.
It'll be a great
Tickets,
day.
yeah, tickets are flying out.
There's not, yeah, not too many left, so get buy-in if you're thinking about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Lunch is included and there's a bar, so
Ooh, not a free bar though.
not a free bar, definitely not. It's expensive enough putting this on.
Yeah. So yeah, get involved, and as ever, if you have any paranormal experiences, UFO experiences, please let us know. One thing I do want to just discuss before we go, and it has been annoying me this week, I'm not going to lie, is lens flare. So we've spoken about lens flare on previous episodes, and sorry to go on a bit of a rant at the end, but people need to understand how photographs work and camera lenses work.
Especially
mobile phone cameras. And the iPhone is probably one of the worst ones as well. So if you take a photo, particularly at night, it does happen in the day, and there's a light source in there in front of the camera, the chances are that you're going to experience some kind of lens flare in the opposite quadrant of the photograph. And it will almost be exactly the same position, but the immediate opposite quadrant. So if it's bottom left-hand corner, it'll be top right-hand corner in the photo.
Yeah.
Directly, so if you take a photograph of the sun's in front of you, you will see on the opposite quadrant of that photograph, more than likely, unless you can angle it properly on your phone, you will see a lens flare. On an iPhone, it's typically green or maybe blue, and I know they're working on that from a software point of view to change that color. But people are putting those photographs up on social media, and they're not accepting that it's an anomaly caused by the camera lens itself. Lots of people go on there, and we get called negative. We get called that we're moaning and criticizing people's photographs. We're not. We're trying to explain how cameras work.
Yeah. So
and it annoys the fuck out of me. Every day you can go on to certain pages and it happens. I tag you in some of them, Ash.
Yeah, because what happens is, like, I'm super, super laid back, and I'm not in any way a troll or anything like that on Facebook.
And as I'm not.
And I'm in so many UFO groups, paranormal groups, and so many of these lens flares get posted as pictures of UFOs, which is fine. Someone took a picture, they may specifically join the group to say, I've looked at my photos afterwards and I've captured this, I don't know what it is. Most people say, yeah, it's lens flare. They explain what it is. Okay, thanks. Didn't know about it. Never heard of that before. I've learned something. And you get others that, like you say, will not accept that it's lens flare. They then start saying they saw it with their own eyes. That's why they took the picture. Or this crap. That's when I just don't hold back. It's like, you're lying. Like,
yeah.
Stop lying. Like, yeah. It's fine if you don't know. And like, and people, I'll always comment, it's lens flare. Like, this quick explanation of how it's caused. Mm-hmm. Like you can line them up with the like lines on the picture to show it's exactly in line, like I say, with the light source in the picture. You explain all that and they're like, that doesn't explain how something with my own two eyes. Like you didn't see your own two eyes. I'm gonna call you out because you're lying.
Yeah.
Trying to make it look like you caught this picture. I've had people so not long ago, probably about 6 months ago, there was a young couple on Facebook. And it was a cropped picture initially. So I was like, this is an edited picture. Can you show the full picture? It would show a light source. They obviously edited out the light source. They're like, nope, so our own eyes. They then set up a GoFundMe page to buy themselves a telescope and a laptop so that they can take more pictures of UFOs. And they wanted £1,000 on this GoFundMe. And I was like, one, telescope is not the thing to be looking for UFOs.
No.
Unless you buy the worst type of equipment you could use to look for a UFO. And two, why do you need like a £500 Apple computer to to do these photos? And when they point things like, you can't use this picture without permission. If you want the rights to use this picture, you can like contact us. And it's like, it's a picture of lens flare, love. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to sound like a dick. Nobody wants it. Like, stop lying. They're like, we see our own two eyes, that's why we took the picture and stuff. It's like, no, you didn't. Just, and like, say you get called debunking. I get people saying to me, why are you in this group? You don't believe. I'm like, I do believe. Like, I put, you knew how much I put into this subtopic. Yeah. It's like, you're telling me that why am I in this group? I don't believe. It's like, I do believe, but that is lens flare.
Yeah.
What's the point in pretending that it's anything else?
I've put up that I want nothing more than to believe that that is a real
photograph. Yeah, I would love that to be,
yeah. But I know that you need to rule out any respectable piece of reasoning as to what that is. Then if you can rule out everything else, what you're left with has got to be the truth. But if I know that every photo that I see almost daily, well, it is daily, multiple times a day, across all the groups, these lens flares, orbs, as people are calling them, it's not. You just see where the light source is and look at the exact opposite quadrant in the photograph, and it lines up perfectly. Edge of the photograph, top to bottom, side to side. It's almost a flipped mirror image up and down of that.
And other people who are like these really like ones that I call the ultra believers, because they use any light in the sky is UFO, it's alien crafts, it's motherships and all this crap. Don't even. I think one rant.
I think one rant
is enough for this episode.
Yeah.
They're not getting started on TR3. Fuck my life. But people
I've seen you go wild on social media.
People like crop these pictures of lens flare and then zoom in and invert the image. Like, oh, it's definitely a solid craft. It's like, what are you even talking about?
So, conversely, in the paranormal groups, you get exactly the same. There is a picture today, and there was some guy who does removals of houses, and he takes photos of the objects that he's selling, and then sells the contents of the house. There is a type of, I can't remember what the job is. They're like house clearance people, and they sell on everything on behalf of the owner, or buy the contents and sell it themselves. And there's a photograph of a mirror with an old school frame on top of like a chest of drawers or a unit, a desk, and the light source is off the camera. It's a flash off the camera. Absolutely, it's a mobile phone. He's not standing in front of the mirror for obvious reasons, because the photograph would show him in it. That's fine. He's trying to sell it, but there's a smudge on the side of the photo, on the side of the mirror, and the flash has highlighted this smudge. And the amount of people that said they can see see faces, people, that this smudge is. And I'm like, it's a smudge. You can see the light source. He put it up there by hand, because it's not affixed to a wall. It's a smudge. It's the flash has highlighted the smudge. And people are like, no, it's evil. I can sense evil in the photograph. So you might sense evil, but that's not what's in the photograph. That is a smudge. It's a fingerprint that he hasn't wiped off, and the light source has caught it. You can see the light source just to the side of it. You can't quite see it. See him, because he's at an angle, but the light source is there. And you would not believe the amount of people that will not accept the fact that it's a smudge. I get notifications on my phone to say, this person's commented on the photo you're commented on, whatever. And they're all going, I can see evil faces. I can definitely feel the presence of evil. And it's definitely a small child. Or I can see two people in that thing. It's a fucking smudge. I can see it's a smudge. Everybody else with half a brain, respectfully, can see that that's a smudge. But I don't troll either. But some things, lens flare, and seeing things that are blatantly not what they are, and not accepting the fact, that's a whole other issue. So
to reiterate, like, it's fine if you don't know what it is, to post
absolutely.
It. But once you've been like, once people have given an explanation, just like, I learned something, blah blah blah. But when people just then start blatantly lying about the story, whatever, that's why I'm like, no, you can go fuck yourself now. I'm not gonna hold
the lens flare's a classic one though. It's they get posted multiple times a day, a lot of people comment that it is lens flare, and then you get all these people saying, oh, I hate all these people come on and say lens flare, when it's not always lens flare. Well, it is always lens flare, and we know that because we take photos. I've got a DSLR camera. I do photo editing, and I do video editing myself. I take photos. We've discussed it. I've taken photos of the sun directly in front of me, so you can see a light source and this artifact.
Like, you can even watch, like, it's not even like
J.J. sort of Abrams does it. J.J. Abrams specifically puts those in films when the light source is in front of it to make it look all cool. And it can look cool.
Yeah, and even like say, like Hollywood movies or TV shows, when there's the sun or car headlights or something, the lens flare is there because it's just an artifact of the sensors in the camera. It's
yes,
and this is like multi-million pound productions that have still got lens flare on the pictures.
Yeah,
but it's not a UFO. It's
literally
a camera artifact.
I can feel another angry episode coming up.
Some episode of rants. I think that might. I think I need it at the minute.
I think so. But yeah, So that was one thing that I picked up this week on social media that's really annoyed me. But yeah, if anybody's got any personal accounts they want to discuss with us, want to come on, flare. Happy to argue lens flare till I die. But yeah, if keep sending messages to us, we get contact from people. We do read all the messages, and we're more than happy to help out, have a chat on or off record. Get in touch. Hope you continue to keep enjoying the episodes. We coming up to a year now. Can you believe that? We're just over 9 months. We've got the year in December. Yeah, it's insane. And we've been trying to get at least one out per week since December.
And then on average, we've done more than one episode a week, include the bonus episodes.
Yeah. And if there's any topics that people would like us to talk about, let us know. Because we're always open to talking about subjects that people want to listen. We pick these topics and we pick each episode based on stuff that we've been looking into or stories that have piqued our interest. But if there's anything that people want us to look into and talk about, more than happy to do that as well.
Yep, I was open to learning. I've learned quite a lot of these past couple of podcasts.
Yeah.
So I didn't know anything about, so I've learned quite a lot.
And you can definitely see a trend of the activity starts with banging noises, girl, and it escalates from there. So yeah, another episode done. Thanks for everybody listening. And as ever, stay safe and get in contact. And we'll update you on where we are with the UFO conference and also the paranormal stuff that I'm involved in the coming weeks as well.
Awesome. Catch you next week.
Pursuit of the Paranormal with Ash and Greg.